Again, I was going to give you pulling the Joe down there. Go for it. All right.
We had to do 19 to 40. That way I could fit into the group. I'm not 40. I'm close to 40, but not 40. So it's kind of interesting that Joe talked about community this morning because I had no idea what he was preaching. He had no idea what I was preaching. Jesus knew what we were preaching. I'm glad he knows what's going on because I usually never know what's going on around here. Anywhere I've ever been, I just stay in my lane, and Heather tells me to get in somebody else's lane if I need to. So it's interesting. I'm going to be talking about community tonight since this is my new community. We spent 3.5 years in our old one. At our former church, we had 13 foster kids come through our home in a year and a half. We kept 2 years, whatever. We kept one of them. We kept the cutest one. Sorry, bud. You are the cutest one. Back over there fighting over two ladies right now. It's okay. Your daddy did too, bud. You'll be fine. So community is important not only in terms of our faith and relationship to God, but also important to our mental and emotional well-being. You ever been out of line with your community, with God, and then your health is terrible? I have. God is a relational being and made us to be relational beings as well. We are not meant to live life alone. That's good because I like to talk. But instead, we are meant to be in community with others. We receive the benefits of having others in our lives. Plus, we need to be there for others when they need our help and support. We aren't meant to live in a relationship. Oh, wow. Yeah, we are meant to live in a relationship. We are meant to live in relationship with others as we are meant to be a part of a larger whole, a community. We aren't wired to live this life alone. You ever watch that TV show Alone on TV? Anybody where they live in the woods? I'm not doing it. Not doing it. I would die. I'd get skinny and then die at some point. But anyway, we might even try to medicate our loneliness away. I've been on anxiety medicine before. It was fantastic while I was on it. And then when you try to come off of it, your body's not supposed to be on it. And so you will suffer. But there's only one solution to our loneliness, and that's community. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help them up. One can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. That would not be fun. You just fall, no one help you get up. Also, if we, okay, 12. Though we may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. These verses tell us the importance of being in a relationship. Two people can get a lot more work done than just one person, as long as it's the correct two people. If it's me, I don't know. We got to work on a, I don't know, I probably shouldn't have preached this as I've got to work on a float this week. But anyway, two people can get a lot more work done than just one person, and you have the added bonus of someone to talk to while you work. If you find yourself in times of trouble, a friend can help you get out of trouble. If you are cold, a friend can help you warm up. And if you're going through a rough patch, then a friend can help stand up for you. Quite simply, life is better when you have others around to support you, to help you, and to have your back when you need it. The book of Acts tells a story of the beginning of the church and how it grew after the death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, we read the story of how the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples, and Peter delivered a powerful sermon, and thousands of people joined the church. So Acts chapter 2, 42 and 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone that had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily to those being saved. There are several things we should notice within these verses. First, notice the word together. Everyone say together. I was a youth pastor. This is how we do this. So everyone says together because I said together. It appears three times in these verses. You may have to go to the parade Friday night and see your community. That is us being together, right? You may not like them all, but you live close enough to them. There's, what, 300 and some people around here? going to have to like each other. You don't even have to meet him at the gas station because we don't have one. But you're going to see him at a parade. Right? Oh, no, not the dollar. That place, you spend too much money in there. Second, take note of the first verb used in the passage of Scripture, devoted. These early believers devoted themselves to fellowship and community. Devoted implies that these things were high priority. What about you? Do you devote yourself to fellowship and community? Are these things high on your priority, or do you have something else you're devoted to? And notice the results of this devotion to fellowship and community. Verse 43 says that God performed miracles through the apostles, and verse 47 says God added to their numbers daily. When we devote ourselves to fellowship and community, and when God is center of that relationship community, amazing things can happen. Who needs amazing things in their lives? And if you don't, you do. You just don't know you do. You're just not there yet. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the approaching." The first two passages we read tell us why community is important and what can happen when we come together in community. These verses from Hebrews tell us more about what we ought to do when we come together in community. It says we ought to spur one another toward love and good deeds. Anybody ever used spurs? I've never used spurs. Do we know what spurs are? That's good, because I'm still going to explain it to you. If you don't know what a spur is a little metal thing that cowboys use that is attached to the back of their boots where they can spur a horse that moves the horse along. That little poke would cause the horse to run faster. This is what we are supposed to do with each other. Give each other a little poke, not literally, of course, to encourage each other to show love to others and do good deeds. Sometimes we just need a little nudge to get involved in service to our community or to go out of our way to share God's love with those around us. Did anybody get into ministry without someone nudging them into it? God nudged me into it. I ran from it for 15 years, but he nudged me into it. And who better to give that nudge than our brothers and sisters in Christ? We are not meant to go alone. And our biblical writers offer the remedy, community. Spending time in fellowship, devoting ourselves to fellowship and with each other. You see, community, fellowship, and relationship are in our handwriting. We are made to be in relationship with one another. Let's go back to the story of creation in Genesis for a moment. Before God created man and woman, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." We are made in God's image first. So what does that mean? We are told throughout the Bible that God is love. God's essence, God's very being is love, and love needs someone to love. Anybody ever just want to be loved? Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody. You ever gave out more love than you received back? That's annoying. Just leave those people where they're at. This is the picture of Trinity. Three things in such close relationship with each other that they are literally one. And since we are created in God's image, our essence ought to be one of love, and our love for each other and our bond of fellowship and relationship should be so strong that we are one. God's nature and likeness are to be in relationship, and we are made in that image. We have pretty well established that we are made to be in community with others. You are an individual, but you need to surround yourself with people who have your back, that at times are tough, who will share anything that you need, and will spur you on towards love and good deeds, as long as they are following God, relying on Him for advice. You do not need people in your community that are not chasing the same goal as you. It's my opinion. Surround yourself. Teenagers, because this is what I did. Teenagers, find good community now. But when you graduate, half that community stays there anyway. You don't talk to them again. So that's the other half of the story. I'm 35. I don't have any friends from high school. So probably because they're in the other community. I just thought about that. Anyway. But community needs to go both ways. We can't simply be the recipients of all this love and fellowship. We can't hog it all to ourselves. Relationship and community are meant to be a two-way street. We need to give as much as we receive. We need to come to the aid of our friends when they are in need. We need to share our belongings with those who are in need, and we need to spur others onward toward love and good deeds. It must go both ways. We are not meant to do life on our own. We are meant to do life with a community. And Heather and I are thankful to be in this community. We are. A Casey's gas station would be great. I could support it, okay? 24 hour what? Well, yeah. I don't care about the gas. I just need the pizza from Casey's. I can go get gas. So since I'm doing this the way I used to do a youth service, I have four questions. Cody missed my music cue. He's getting it. Okay. Is there a difference between being alone and being lonely? Your mama gonna get your booty. You better go. I'd back up too. Okay. So the first question, is there a difference between being alone and being lonely? Right? What is it? What's the difference in being alone and being lonely? Where do you go when you feel like being alone? Seclude yourself. Where do you go when you feel lonely? Same place. You should probably turn to Jesus in that time. It's a lot easier to just hide and recluse yourself from life than it is to pray. I've done it. We've all done it. Like, God doesn't want to hear this. He knows what's going on. Everybody says that. He knows what's going on, so why do I have to pray about it? Just pray about it. Spend 5 minutes praying instead of 45 minutes hiding out eating donuts in the closet. You know, one's healthier than the other. And the last question is, who are the people you turn to when you are in need or in trouble? Do you turn to other friends? Do you turn to Jesus? Do you turn to pastor's friends? As long as they're giving you solid advice, you'll be okay. Turn to someone that's been there before you. If you're having financial trouble, you might want to talk to somebody that had financial trouble that got out of it. Don't talk to broke people. Dave Ramsey says that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if something's going on in your life, find somebody that's had that problem and came out of it. We were at a church one time that I went to a men's group that I was the youngest by at least 20 to 25 years. But, as I called them, the old men had already been through that part of life. And when I needed something, we had been married probably 3 or 4 years. I mean, so I needed somebody to tell me what to do because I didn't know. We met and got married in 10 months. We met online and got married 10 months later. I know, we didn't meet in Sunday school. It's okay. But, you know, so I had to surround myself in my community with someone that had done it before. Now, did they always have the best advice? No. But they had some advice. And so I would take some from this guy and some from this guy and put together what I needed to do in life. So as we open this up for the altar call, because there again, I'm a youth pastor and I preach for 12 minutes. As we open it up, I just want, you know, if you've got something going on in your life, either in your community or your family. We have a guy at our former church that him and his wife were like our parents before we moved here, and he is currently dying of cancer. Like, I'm surprised we haven't got a text this evening yet. That's why I've avoided my phone, because I did not want that text before I come up here. And you're going to cry. And if you cry, I'm going to cry, so you better stop that. But, you know, we have those people in our life, in our community, you know. It's not going to be easy going back to our old church for a funeral, but we're going to have to go. Those are our people. There's someone in your community that needs prayer right now. It could be you, but try to pray for somebody else in your community that needs prayer. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for this ability, Lord, to pray, Lord, to you, for dying on the cross for us, Lord. Lord, thank you for allowing me to preach tonight, Lord, and bring the word. Lord, I just pray for Pastor Joe, Lord, as he's driving back from St. Joe, Lord, that he is safe in this rain and this weather, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for this church that you have blessed us with. Lord, I just pray that we are the vessel, Lord, and you work through us however you want to take care of this church and these people, Lord. It's your name I pray. Amen.